prepared. I don't know how the voice went, but y'all get into it because we're going to dive straight into this shit.
Get Welcome ready.
To connect the dots.
Listen. We're going to, bro, this is like the most connected. We're going to connect, like the dots are getting obliterated.
The dots are being, I don't know what it is. All right, first, before we get started, I'm Johnny.
And I'm Jason.
Why is Jeff Bezos over here looking like a space cowboy with his cowboy hat riding in his penis-shaped rocket?
His penis rocket. He's gonna adulterate the space and time continuum.
He's gonna fuck the world.
He's gonna put Amazon on the moon. That's what he's trying to do.
I don't know what he's trying to do, man. But he's over here
out the moon. He's ran out of space, and you know, on Earth, he needs.
What else can I own? Right. But you know, he was over there giving interviews, you know, on stage, and he's wearing a fucking cowboy hat. I'm like, what the hell is going on right now? Like, where are we at?
I mean, when you got more money than God, I feel like it does weird shit to your brain.
It does weird shit, man. It's super weird. Like, yeah. What's with people's poor hat choices, man? You're not a cowboy. What are you wearing?
You know, he just, you know, it's really interesting. And
I just tagged you in this that Space Force is even like cracking up. Like, that rocket looks like they had that awesome power scene I was just talking about. It looks like a hey Dick, look out the window right now.
Yeah.
Dude, it's terrible. What a poor design.
Like, it looks like a cock ate my chickens.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's I mean, I don't know. I guess I watched it, and you know, I guess they go to the outer edge of space, and they get zero G, and the, you know, yada yada yada, space things. But I'll say that it's a pretty interesting concept. I mean, you go to the outer edge of Earth, and you're technically in space. So I mean, I guess that's cool. You know what I mean?
And then what do they do? Come right back.
Yeah, and then they come right back. You know, that's
It was like the same day. Like, they just went up there for a little bit, and then they came up. They came back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly, that was the part that I was curious about, because I was like, "Isn't he in space right now?" I was like, "How is he?"
No, you literally skirt the edge of the atmosphere, and you dip into space, and then boom. You know what I mean? There you are. You're in space. So technically, they'll charge you six figures to go up there. Maybe seven. Who knows?
Seven. That 18-year-old kid paid like $20 million to go to have a 5-second, you know, joyride into space.
So I guess, you know, it's kind of crazy. But so you tonight, what's going on?
Screw those guys. Let's talk about some real shit.
Let's talk about some real shit here for a second. So, to give everyone a backstory here, so I did an interview. Oh, by the way, we took 3 weeks off. I don't know if y'all noticed or not, but
yeah,
the personal issues, and we just needed to take a mental break. So,
We took a John Oliver hiatus.
We did. You know, you got to recharge the batteries every once in a while because you get kind of burnt out.
Well, it wasn't even, you know, there's also, you know, there was a lot. It was that time of the summer, you know, 4th of July, and then it was, you know, it was crazy.
Yeah, you're most certainly right. And so before we took our break there, I did an interview with Mr. Daniel Burke, and it's one of my most, I did it solo, you know. Jason over here, he worked his government job. It's all right. So I did it solo. So, I figured this would be a good concept of we listen to it and we talk about it into Daniel's interview with me. So it's awesome.
I'm getting goosebumps right now, Johnny. I'm getting goosebumps.
So obviously I'm the one who did it. So give me your takeaway, man. Give me your what's the scuttlebutt, man?
Can we talk about what happened?
Yeah, dude. Yes.
Okay. So all right. So Johnny has been trying. We've been not necessarily procrastinating, but the timing's been off for this episode, this one that we're recording right now.
for a while now, for about a week. We've been trying to nail down time to do it, and I've been trying to nail down some time to listen to it so that we can give it, you know, the proper intro. With that being said, I had not listened to it yet until, you know, 10 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago. With that being said, this guy, Daniel Berg, I had no idea who he was until Johnny brought him. I knew who he was going into this thing because I knew Johnny had interviewed him. But I had never seen any of his information on social media. I didn't know his story. I didn't know the story that he was going to tell Johnny. However, I did know it. This is where it gets tricky.
It's nuts.
Johnny sort of gave me the footnotes of the episode that he did with Danny, with Danny, and he told me, you know, some key things about it. But you know, that conversation didn't last too long, and there was a lot of details that Johnny left out. But somehow, when I started listening to this recording, I knew the story that Daniel was telling before he told it. I knew it. I could envision it. I heard his voice telling it in my head. And I wasn't even, I was half paying attention, Johnny, to be honest with you, because I was in the kitchen fucking making pizza. And then here we go. He starts telling the story about how he gets the radio, and I'm about to throw, I'm getting nauseous thinking about it. I'm going to throw up. And he gets the radio, and I'm like, yeah, he's talking about the radio. And this is at about between 10 minutes and 12 minutes into the episode. And I was like, yeah, he's talking about radio. And I was like, this is the part where he goes into the woods and he hears the voice. And then, lo and behold, he talks about going into and seeing the trees and then hearing the voice. And I was like, this is the part where it says, be prepared. And then word for word, he tells a story about the voice telling him to be prepared. And I was like, yeah, I was like, I've heard this shit before. And then I was like, wait, no, I haven't. No, I have not. I've never heard this story before. How the fuck do I know about this story? How do I know this story before? I've never heard it. I've never heard this story before. How do I know about it? How do I know what this man experienced? How do I know this? I was like, I fucking know this. I know this. I know what happened to him. I know it.
It's the craziest thing.
And then you called me up. And like, I called Johnny bro. Freaking the fuck out. I called Johnny freaking the fuck out, and I'm telling him about what we just talked about. And I was like, yeah. I was like, Johnny, I know about this story. I was like, I know that he heard the voice telling him to be prepared, and then he hears it again. And then Johnny's like, yeah, well, no, he didn't hear it again. And I was like, oh, he didn't hear it again? Are you sure? I was like, maybe he doesn't hear it again. I don't know. But I think he might have heard it. I think he hears it again. I'm telling you right now, like, I know this fucking story. I know this story, like, word for word. I can hear it in my voice. He's like, how do you know it? You've never heard it. And I was like, I don't know, Johnny, but I've heard it before. I've heard this story told to me in his voice before. And then at 22 minutes and 26 seconds in, guess what Daniel talks about? Hearing it again.
Yeah.
The second time. So now I'm paying attention more than I ever was before. And here, check this out, Johnny. Check this fucking shit out. You ready for this?
This part I haven't heard. What you got?
Ready for this? This is fresh off. This is hot off the presses. When he got into how long he was in the trance or how long he was gone or whatever, when he goes into 25 minutes, I knew exactly how long he was gone. As he was saying the 20 minutes part, I said, this guy was gone for 90 minutes. And then he goes, I was gone for an hour and a half.
Oh, my God.
I knew it. I knew it before you said it, Johnny. I swear to God. I knew it before you said it.
It's the synchronicity all over again, man.
We're about to blow your fucking mind out of your ass with synchronicity, right? Because now it's diving into math. So I've been seeing the number 9 my whole life since I moved to Hawaii, like 12 years ago. We're talking about this at exactly 9 minutes and 29 seconds in. Okay, now it's 9 minutes and 34 seconds in. I knew he was gone for 90 minutes. Check this out. I knew that he talked to the voice 2 times. All right? He talks about being gone for 20 minutes. 2 times. 20 minutes. 2 times 2 is 4. So 20 minutes. 2 times 40 minutes.
this interview that you sent me to recording got cut off at around 40 minutes.
Oh my God.
All right. I know this sounds fucking confusing. Okay. But hold on. Try to follow me here. I knew about the radio. We get to the part. Actually, the recording gets cut off around like 46 minutes, but I digress. Okay. Cause I'm so like overwhelmed right now. I feel like I'm going to have a heart attack.
Let's put a pin in it for just a second. This is not like you whatsoever. Like normally, like I'm the believer in like,
I'm
the skeptic. You know what I mean? And you're the skeptic, and the roles reversed today. Cause when you called me the first time, I was like, all right, let's debunk this. Like, let's just, is this the Mandela effect that we're looking at here? Did I tell you this in passing? And then you're like, it's ringing. You're like, bro, like you gave me the footnotes, and I most certainly did. And I remember what I told you about the interview and all this stuff, but I didn't go into extreme detail of like the 90 minute mark. The second time you heard the voice, you did this. You know what I mean? Like that never came out of my mouth whatsoever. Bro, so when you're telling me this, I'm just like, oh my gosh, like this is crazy.
This is when you're really gonna throw up. You ready?
Am I ready?
Daniel talks about waving whatever he was waving. I was like, this is the part where Johnny tells him a story about my favorite story about the waving guys from England.
Yeah.
And then you told the story. in the interview.
When he was
talking about the waving things, I immediately thought in my mind, I was like, this is the part where Johnny tells Daniel about my favorite story about the guys from England waving at the aliens.
Yeah, because you don't know what else to do. What else are you going to do? You're going to wave. So, I did talk about that.
I knew you were gonna say it before you said it on the interview that I've never heard before in my life, Johnny. I knew it was gonna happen, man. And that was like 30 minutes in an interview. And then guess what? You wanna hear some other shit? I went to the mall today before I came home, and now we're doing this. I went to the mall today and I thought about buying a phone. You talk about phoning. The aliens. You talk about something about doing with the phones. Something about phones. You guys brought up phones. At exactly. You ready for this? Ready for the math? Ready for the synchronicity? Check this out. It's going to blow your fucking balls off. Ready? You talk about the phone thing and the call. You mentioned the specific word call at 42 minutes and 9 seconds into the interview.
And my balls are gone right now.
Bro.
They're gone.
All the numbers are right there. 4, 2, and 9.
if this interview wasn't meant to happen. Man, I'm kind of speechless right now, Jason, because that's the craziest thing. We take 3 weeks off, and here we go. They're bringing us back in. These motherfuckers are bringing us back in.
And it was so funny is Daniel brings up a good point in the episode. We can talk about the episode now. I'm still like, my mind is blown right now. But he talks about the CDI, right? And how,
yeah,
you know, the mind, the human mind is a powerful thing, and their minds are even more powerful. And he talks about the concept of sort of almost like astral projection, but with your mind, but with like imagery and thoughts and things of that nature. Is it so far-fetched that this was all part of the grand design? Like, we talked to Daniel about synchronicity. We learned about that. We talked to damn Daniel about synchronicity, right? Before... Yep. And we touched on synchronicity, we dabbled with it, and we said this was all supposed to happen. And then you talked about in the interview how we talked to Costa, we talked to Daniel, we talked to
Jeff,
right, in succession until we got to Dan, and now here we are.
Dan Berg. Let me tell you, And then like it all, and you know, and they all, so this is, so we got our guests by knowing each other, but in behind the scenes, you know, because each guest recommends another guest, kind of a deal. And come to find out, you know, after talking to them off the podcast, you know, we always do like an icebreaker where we get, you know, meet and greet, and you know, they get the formalities out of the way, if you would, before the podcast. And they all meet in like crazy ways too. Like they happen to attend the same class or going, they have this in common and this and that. Well, like Daniel met Dan. Daniel reached out to Dan personally, and he had a calling about, you know, extraterrestrials and cosmic wavelengths and stuff like that. And Dan is, you know, Dan Berg is a bit of a, he's a humble individual, and he is one of the greatest men I've ever met, and both Daniels. And let me tell you, Dan Berg is definitely a class act. I mean, he didn't want any of this from anybody. He just kind of wanted to live his life, and he ended up becoming almost an accidental rock star of the CE5 world. So Daniel reached out to Dan Berg, and just out of the blue. So it's like they're linking up accidentally. You know what I mean? Like all of this happened just because Daniel decided to call Dan one day and said, teach me what you know. You know what I mean? And it's just crazy. It's crazy how things work out.
I was just like, how was the story in my brain before I was able to access that information? How was I able to, like I told Johnny when I first called him, and I was like really ready to throw up. Now I've sort of calmed down a little bit, kind of. It was like when you've seen a movie and you already know what happens next. You don't have to even be watching the movie. You can judge it by sound.
Exactly.
I was in my kitchen. I was away from my desk listening to this. I was not concentrating on it at all. I mean, I'm not quite ambient. You know, it wasn't like background noise where I'm not paying attention to it. I was paying attention, but I was not concentrating on it. I was concentrating on making pizza. I was like completely 100% focused on making pizza. And in the background, this was playing. And in my head, it was like literally like watching a movie that I've seen before. And I was like, oh yeah, this is the part where this happened. And then it dawned on me that I have never seen this fucking movie before.
Wow.
Sorry, I didn't mean to say the F word.
It's all right. We have explicit content up here. It's okay. But
I don't want to say, and I don't, you know, I digress. I don't want the focus of this to be on me, because this is so much bigger than me and myself. And I feel so thankful that I, you know, I'm part of this Banana Land experience. That's the thing as well, is I'm not scared. You know what's interesting, Johnny? Since we started this journey of ours, I haven't told you this yet. I've been able to wake up and know exactly what time it is down to the minute.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I'll wake up and I'll be like, oh man, it's 3:09 in the afternoon. And I'll look at my watch and it's 3:09 in the afternoon. Or I'll wake up in the middle of the night and be like, wow, it's 2:38 a.m. And then I'll look at my watch and it's 2:38 a.m.
So you're leading on. You don't even tell me this stuff. Dude, that's profound. I mean, if that's not If
I didn't pay any attention to it, you know, sort of like how Daniel describes in his story, it's almost as if it's not one of those things, you know. And it's so funny that we bring up the Jeff Bezos thing, and he's on stage, he talks about going into space for 2 seconds. I'm in my mind, I'm like, yeah, that's amazing, that's great, but we did that 70 years ago. Who cares?
Yeah, like, you know, and I guess the not, you know, play down with this, but it's just, it's commercial now, so we all have an opportunity to do this, and you don't have to be, you know, Buzz Aldrin to do it, you know what I mean? So it's it's so profound. I mean, it is the most profound thing. I can't believe it. Like, it's the craziest thing, because I mean, it's one of those deals too, you know, Jason, where, you know, it goes to what our other podcasts, you know, our previous guests have been saying, that, like, you know, this whole thing is kind of like a linked up to an internet. And Jason, yeah. I felt like you found yourself plugged in, man. You know what I mean? Like, you tapped into, you know.
Yeah.
The universal, you know, I'm not going to say like, oh, Jason's a guru now. Like, I'm not going to say that, but I feel like you found it, that you tapped yourself into the universal wavelength there. You know what I mean?
Here's the thing too, and Daniel brings it up. He said, you know, he didn't say it, and it didn't come from a pretentious place when he said it. But he said, you know, you kind of got to be worthy. And you know, I don't go around telling people that I'm a good person. I get told by other people. I don't expect it, I don't seek it. It just happens.
Yeah.
You know, I don't do things to please people. I act naturally, and I do what I believe to be right and true in my heart. That's how I operate 24/7.
That's what you got to do, man.
And this year has been the best year of my life since I've been doing that. And, you know, it all had a lot to do with, you know, me having a clear mind and a clear body away from drugs and alcohol and all that. You know, I'm 110% sober. I don't know if the audience knows that, but there isn't a single drug in my body besides coffee. And, you know, since my emotions and everything sort of leveled out, you would think, listening to me, you're like, wow, this guy smokes a lot of weed. No, not even a little bit. I operate 120% naturally, and I do what I believe to do, that, you know, is right in my heart. Does it mean I'm a pacifist? No, I got into a fight with a guest in my restaurant. He ended up in bracelets. It means, you know. It means, you know, I operate naturally. That's the only way I can describe it. And maybe that sort of sense of spirituality, that sense of cohesiveness with my environment. You know, I feel like you and I are in that sort of same wavelength, where we're very in tune with what's going on around us. And maybe that has led us to something that we can't explain.
No, I agree. And it's, you know, it's definitely, I mean, it's crazy, man. It's crazy to even think about, you know, just all of it, you know. It's kind of blows my mind a little bit, man. It's just, I'm kind of left speechless, to be honest with you, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I mean, what a crazy thing, man. What a crazy thing that you tapped into accidentally. You know what I mean? Because, again, like, but again, all right, let's blow your mind a little bit more. What if you're the one gifted with this and the ability to accidentally tap in because you're the skeptic of the group, and they showed you and they want to open your eyes? But me, like, I kind of already know. You know what I'm saying? I wholeheartedly believe everything that our guests say. You know what I mean? Because just because it didn't happen to you doesn't mean it didn't happen at all. You know what I'm saying? And you take the more scientific standpoint, be like, well, yeah, you know, let's think about this. You know, and then what if these are, this is the universe showing you that, like, Jason, this shit's fucking real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. To draw you in more. You know what I mean? And look, dude, and look at you now, man. Like, everything, you're seeing nine. This is popped up. What if a seed was planted into you? You know what I mean?
Bigfoot. Nines have followed me around my whole life. So here's a brief story about the nines. You ready for this? So,
what you got?
So when I joined the Navy, a weird thing happened with nines. I believe wholeheartedly I've only been in love one, like, with my heart, body, and soul, like, one single time in my life. And it was this woman that I met when I joined the Navy when I was 19. Now check this out. See, there we go. Boom, right there. At 19, I met this love of my life, right? Like, head over heels, completely in sync with this other person. Like, 120% in sync with this other person. I was supposed to ship off to basic the following week. I get a call from the recruiter probably about 3 or 4 days early. And he's like, hey, man, you got to ship up. We got to ship you out right now. I said, well, this is fucking bullshit. I wasn't supposed to leave for another 4 days. He was like, no, you got to leave now. You're a U.S. government, you know, employee now. You got to go, dude. And I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. Happened to be in bed with her, okay? We're really upset about the situation. And she's like, hey, that's weird. And I was like, oh. I was like, what are you talking about? And she's like, nothing to worry about. And then we get in the car, and then she starts freaking out. Like, so one of those, like, excited, like, I'm really excited about this, like, starts, like, hitting me. And she was like, do you realize what the fuck this means? And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And she's like, when I woke up this morning, before you woke up, before you got the call from your Navy recruiter, the number 9 was blinking on the microwave. And I thought, oh, that's weird. She was like, I don't remember cooking anything that night or last night, but it was just there. Like, it was just blinking, like 09, blinking on the microwave. But now I looked at my calculator, and you helped me out with my math homework because she was in college at the time. She was like, you helped me out with my math homework last night. And I was like, yeah. She was like, well, the number 9 was left on my calculator. And I said, okay. She was like, I've known you for exactly 9 days. And I was like, okay, that's a lot. That's a lot. Yeah. Okay. I'm with it. I believed it. I was all in. I went down this rabbit hole with it. And then we went to my buddy's house to say goodbye to my boys, right? At the going away party that we had when we were drunk. This is before digital cameras. Yeah, we're getting old, Johnny.
Yeah, we are.
The film that was used the night before the camera was opened up, the back of the camera got opened up. The only pictures that came out were the ones of me and her. All the other ones were black, right? You know how you expose negative film?
Yeah, you can't do the light, yeah.
It all turns black, right? But not the ones with me and her in it. Those are the only ones that came out. I shipped off the basic. Before I got on the plane, I was debating. I was like, I could leave the airport right now and tell the U.S. government to go fuck itself. I don't think there would be any legal repercussions. I was like, you know what, though? I don't know if I should go or not. Before we left MEPS in Baltimore and went to BWI to fly out, I was driven from Delaware to MEPS. I know I'm kind of jumping all over, but stay with me. I'm flying out of BWI. Before I get on the plane, some weird lady in the airport gave me a New Testament, like one of those many New Testaments, like the Bible. Yeah.
The Gideon Bibles, yeah.
Yeah, the little ones. And I was like, okay, if I'm supposed to get on this plane, I'm going to open this book. There's going to be a 9 on the page. So I opened it up, and it was like something, something 9. And I was like, okay, I'll get on a plane. Get on a plane, my seat was 9A. When I got to basic, now this is like several hundred miles away, a couple thousand miles away in fucking Great Lakes, Chicago, Illinois. Guess what my division number was there? Guess what it was?
Was it 9?
It was 090. That was my division. The first letter, the first letter that I got from her came on the ninth day I was there. And ever since then, like, we, her and I just didn't work out. She ended up, you know, going back with her ex-boyfriend, whatever. The nines kind of split off for a couple years. But every now and again, they'll come back. When there's some big type shit going on in my life personally, the nines will show back up. When I made the decision to move to Hawaii and be away from my family, move 5,000 miles away, same thing happened. You know, my my seat, I didn't pick my seat. There was a nine in my seat number. And granted, I was looking for it. I didn't really care too much about it. This was many years later, but it was there. It gave me some reassurance. Guess what my sober date is, Johnny, after 15 years of drinking? And you know what my sober date is?
What is it?
July 9th.
Holy shit, man. So, if this isn't full-blown synchronicity, I don't know what the hell is.
Pretty cool.
So, I mean, that's very profound, man. I mean, that holds a lot of weight, especially for you to come out and, you know, and give all our awesome listeners, you know, an insight of who Jason is. And, I mean, that's huge, man. That's fucking huge. So, I mean, man, if we're not tapped in, you know what I mean? I feel like I choose these people because they're recommended. And this shit always fucking happens, man. Like, we've met some extraordinary people, from Jeff to Costa to Daniel and Dan. And it's it's nuts, man. It's, you know, it's, this rabbit hole has taken us to an extraordinary things. And, you know,
our relationship was born out of this. Our, like, you and I
personally. Yeah. I wonder the date that we started was on a 9th. That'd be crazy if it was.
You married my cousin.
Yeah.
Right?
And that must have been good.
You and I, you've been with my cousin for quite some time, but you and I didn't link up until we found out that we shared common interests, Bigfoot, aliens, etc. And then we actually had a conversation, and when we didn't really, really link up until we talked about CE5.
Yeah. I was like, this is it, man. This is, I feel like this, and it's not just because, like, it's a hot subject or anything like that. It's because, like, we were kind of, like, drawn to this almost. Like, we just felt almost, like, magnetically, like, drawn to the subject. And I know that it's, like, something that has to be talked about. Like, it has to be, like, this has to be talked about. And it has to be, like, I'm not going to say take it seriously because it sounds very serious, like it has to be taken seriously, but you can't sleep on it. Maybe that's a better thing to say. You know what I mean? Like, can't be slept on, because, like, this shit is so fucking real. It's not even, like, so I was on some other podcast and, you know, and like, it, you know, and, you know, I explained, you know, what it is and this, you know, what it is. And I felt like when I talk, you know, and explain what it is, and then it's like the telephone. I feel like it's misrepresented the wrong way. It's us contacting them. You know what I mean? It's us contacting extraterrestrial beings. That's what the fifth kind is. And, you know, and it's one of those things too, like Daniel, Dan Berg, I don't want to get confused, that he said it's just the worthy individuals get this. And that's people with true intentions in their heart. You know what I mean? Like, it's gotta, you know, it's crazy to think about, man. And, you know, it's not just, you know, oh, pseudoscience. Like, we have come into contact with so many people and so many, like, so much evidence, man. It's not even funny. You know what I mean? Like, I had pictures on my phone that I was asked not to show anybody. That
you ready for
this? You know what I mean? and of evidence of extraterrestrials. And I'm gonna be true to those people. Like, I'm not gonna show anybody. But I mean, I think I deleted them. Just out of respect. You know what I mean? And you know, it's, dude, it leaves me lost for words. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, oh, what is that a picture of? You know, like, I'm a pretty good photographer. You know what I mean? And I used to, you know, I used to dabble back in the day. I'm not as good as my wife, but you know, I look at it, I'm like, that is not a fucking doctored picture at all. This is like, you see people behind it, like, yeah. You know, this is not doctored at whatsoever.
Real shit.
It is real shit, man, and it's crazy. John, so,
you ready for some more mind-blowing math real quick?
What you got?
Okay. There's two of us. There's two Daniels. When I first called you today, when I had my mind blown out of my ass, I talked about Daniel hearing the voice two times. And if you break it down, this, I guess, was the second time that I heard this story.
It's four.
A lot of twos.
It's a lot of twos. Oh my gosh.
It's a lot of throwing up. Seven.
So with the synchronicity, I mean, what did you think of the interview? I mean, I hope I did it justice.
I mean, it was great. It was great. You know, it was.
I feel like he's a well of knowledge that. If you ever get to listen to some knowledge, please make sure you pay attention, because.
I also, you know, I don't want to spoil it. But his story, you know, his story, just like all the stories that we've heard, is absolutely incredible. And it just keeps getting more and more incredible as we journey on. Every single person that we talk to, they all have incredibly similar qualities. You can't make this shit up. Every single person that we've interviewed has an incredible story. And they are humble, grateful, and full of love. Every single one of them. Not one of them comes from a pretentious place. Not one of them, you know, wants clickbait. Not one of them, you see them trying to make money off of this thing. It's literally, they all come from good places. And if you know what we're talking about, then you know what we're talking about. Like, you know, exactly. You know what I mean?
Exactly right.
They all have they're completely different people from different walks of life in different parts of the country. And every single one of them is like, has an amazing story. And they all share very similar characteristics.
Exactly right.
You can't make this shit up, man.
You most certainly cannot. And it's the most incredible thing that I feel like we ran into in a very, very, very long time. And it's absolutely incredible. You know, I hope we get the pleasure of talking to more guests in the future pertaining to this. You know what I mean? And it's just absolutely crazy.
What do you want to call this episode? I know we're live on the air right now.
Oh man.
How about Damn Daniel?
Damn Daniel. What about it's called the Dan Berg Experience, since he's a rock star.
Yeah. Damn Danny Berg.
But if you listen to the stories that he tells, it's like everyone in his life has something like this happen.
Right. That's the
thing. So it is the Dan Berg Experience, man.
So here's a couple of questions that I have, because I know we're probably all going to readdress this, the two Dans and us. I'm sure this is just going to open up a whole new can of synchronicity whoop-ass.
How did we know? How did we know about the thing before we knew about the thing before we knew it? How did we know that we were going to be synced up before we talked to the two Daniels, before we talked about the synchronicity? How did the synchronicity happen?
Oh, man.
After the fact, before we knew it was going to happen.
Exactly right. Oh, man. I don't even know, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? Like, it's,
think about that for a second. Like, what are the odds in the universe? Okay, hold on. There's, like, you know, 7 billion people on the planet. What are the odds we connect with Daniel, and then some synchronicity happens there, fireworks, and then we connect with Dan, and it all kind of comes around full circle? What are the odds of that?
I mean, it's absolutely incredible, man. The odds are astronomical. I mean, it's one of those things that you couldn't make this up if you wanted to. You know what I mean?
You'd have to be like George Lucas.
You couldn't make this up. I mean, you couldn't.
I just brought up George Lucas. Guess what Dan talks about?
The Close Encounters of the Third Kind, man.
He talks about Star Wars in the center.
Yeah. George Lucas shit. I'm thinking of Steven Spielberg. My bad, dude.
I was thinking about him, too.
I'm thinking of Steven Spielberg.
I was thinking about him, too, Johnny. I'm not kidding.
This is getting weird.
Getting weird, bro.
It's getting super weird. Well, all I have to say is hold on to your butts listening to this episode, folks, because, I mean, it's a good one. And, of course, you know, I want to thank everyone who takes the time and listens to our episodes, and we appreciate the hell out of you. And make sure that you give some thumbs up on the Instagram, the tweeters, and, you know, show us some love. And if you like what we talk about and what we do, please, you know, support us, and you know, tell a friend to listen to us. That'd be awesome. So, I mean, again, you know, we're going to connect some fucking heavy ass dots from going forward, because we took a little break and it's drawing us back the fuck in. I can't stress that enough.
We can't escape.
We can't. Once you're in this world, we're in this world. So it's nuts, man.
There's no getting out.
You're absolutely right.
We're in the star mafia. That's what's going on now.
We most certainly are. And it's a good home. It's full of love, let me tell you.
There's a lot of stuff going on. There is, man.
So anything you want to add before we sign off, Jason?
I've done so much adding.
I'm glad you did, man. I'm glad. I felt like it was Dan Berg's, man. Can't speak enough about him, and he's such a great guy. So
I'm exhausted. You know, I need a
give big thoughts. Take a nap, man.
I need a nap, bro.
All right, on that note, man. Hey, it's been Connected Dots. I'm Johnny.
I'm Jason.
Hey, stay tuned and listen. Thank you.
We're recording. Awesome. Dan Berg, welcome to the Connect the Dots. How are you today?
Good, Johnny Schools. How are you, brother?
Well, I can't complain, sir. You know, first and foremost, thank you for coming on, man. I know it's been a whirlwind, and you're a man with the plan, so I'm glad to have you.
Thanks. Yeah, I know. It was nice meeting you the other day, and
for sure,
too bad we couldn't have recorded that, so I didn't have to get recorded today.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, our my partner in crime here, you know, he's working his government jobs with Jason. He wished he could be on, but schedules couldn't match up. So it's
That's too bad. I was hoping to meet him today.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that he was good yesterday, but he wasn't good today. But he's like, go ahead and do it, man. Do us proud. So I'm here and I'm representing Connected today for on behalf of the both of us. So I don't know if you want to go ahead and tell us about yourself, Dan.
Oh, what can I tell you? I mean, I did the same story I told you last time. You want me to just start from the beginning of how it started?
Yeah, you can do the cliff notes. That's cool.
My name's Dan Berg. I manage a dealership in the Rocky Mountains in British Columbia. I'm 44 years old. I've been in the UFO ET hunting game now for about 4 years. I'm quite new to it. That's what we're talking about today is UFOs and extraterrestrial contact. So my relevance to this is fairly fresh. I grew up my entire life with no beliefs, no sightings. I'm not one of those kids that got abducted at childhood, or I have nothing fantastic from my younger years. But what I was telling you when we spoke last week was it kind of all started with watching Unacknowledged. It's kind of cliche, and I think a lot of people say the same thing, but
that's how we got started, you know. But I digress. I mean, it's not entirely, but we all had both Jason and I had things that happened in our past that kind of led us to watching Acknowledge, and that kind of sparked it for us.
It's a documentary that everybody should see, really. They should, whether you like Stephen Greer or not. That is a documentary that everybody should see. And like I said, it lit a fire inside me, and I watched it almost every night for probably a week. And then after that, any friends that came over, anybody I could get to watch it, I would happily watch it again with anybody willing to invest 90 minutes to watch it. And, after watching that, I learned about, that was the very first time I'd ever heard about CE5, and which stands for Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, which is human initiated contact.
Yep.
Sounds ridiculous. Sounds impossible. Sounds like it can't be done. But I saw some videos. I watched some programs and watched some actual live video from some CE5 expeditions that were on YouTube and online, and it looked like there might be something to it. So I thought, hey, you know what? What have you got to lose? And this is what I challenge anybody out there who says, oh, I've never heard of this, or I've heard a little bit about it, and it's ridiculous, I'm not willing to do it. What have you got to lose? A couple hours, a few hours on a Saturday night or on an evening? How many people go out under the stars anyways and see the wonders in our sky? I mean, just to see the International Space Station and satellites flying is super cool.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, we don't look up. We look down at our phones. That's what we do now. We look down, we don't look up.
Yeah. It's starting to get hunched
So I got on the SeaSteady website and enrolled or became a member. And I looked up all the people in surrounding cities around me and the people, within an hour or two of Revelstoke. And I invited a lot of people, and I only got one taker. And it was from a town about an hour away from Revelstoke, west of Revelstoke. And we met in the middle in a little town called Sycamoose on the side of Shuswap Lake at the beginning of March. There was 3 feet of snow. The lake was frozen. It was cold, typical British Columbia, you know, early March. We listened to the canned Greer meditation from the contact tool. We didn't speak it. We actually held hands and closed our eyes and listened to this half hour meditation. Then we unloaded a couple of lawn chairs, threw them out in the snow, walked down the beach a little bit and got comfy for 3 hours with our snow pants on. And we didn't see anything. It was super foggy. You couldn't even see across the lake, but, we wrapped up at midnight, just like you're supposed to. And it was, you know, a failed attempt. The following week, some of my coworkers that I had kind of shared my interest with Unacknowledged and, you know, hey, like after watching Unacknowledged, it almost 100% convinced me that the nuts and bolts of UFOs were real. I knew nothing about them, where they come from or who flies them or whatever. But I just felt like it offered enough evidence for me to conclude that there is something flying around up there. So my coworkers knew what my interest was. The following week, one of my salespeople walked into my office, asked me if I'd seen the Salmon Arm Observer newspaper. To which I said no. So he made me go online or asked me to go online. I looked it up, and there were these six ice circles that were on the lake. A lady had gone to sleep Saturday night. She'd lived there for 30 years. This photo was taken from her balcony. Actually, if you look up, you can look up the, did you ever look up the newspaper article, BBC man tries to contact aliens?
Dan, I looked up everything and I'm speechless. The only thing I could not remember from our previous conversation, and I'm probably sure we'll get to it, is the orb. And I could not for the life of me, my dumb ass could not figure out how to spell it on YouTube. Do you get the orb?
Swamish. That was
big. Yeah, I mean, I tried everything, and like, you know, my phone was hating me. They're like, do you mean squish? I'm like, no. I think it's pronounced this, and I just could not remember. But no, I looked up all of the, I mean, you're kind of almost like a rock star, Dan. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't like the attention, and I don't want the attention, but.
No. And I'm just saying, like, but people are just, I don't know what it is, but it's just everything, you know, how we met is through a mutual friend, and you know, that's, I feel like that's a little bit more respectful of the way, but man, like people I found just kind of like threw themselves at you, even though you told me that, like I saw it firsthand, and just all the, they're just, you're just a magnet, you know what I mean? And I feel like us meeting is more of a, we were supposed to meet, you know what I mean? Cause Daniel felt strongly enough to, you need to talk to my friend Dan. If you're on a path that you need to talk to, like he's a stop in your road that you need to talk and make acquaintances with. And I'm like, you know what? I agree. Cause everything that Daniel's said to Jason and I, I'm like, holy shit. Like it's very synchronistic. You know what I mean? Like we were supposed to meet Daniel.
Yeah.
And we started out with Jeff. We met Jeff, and Jeff opened up the gate to Costa. Costa opened up the gate to Dan, or Daniel, and then he led us to you. And so it's been a very cool trekking journey. I'm glad we have the opportunity to meet. But yeah, you know, we looked you up, and what a rock star you are, man. You know, it's cool. I mean, I've seen you, and you're in the middle of the desert or in the middle of South America is when I watch you. You're like, there's something in the tree line. I'm like, this guy just got whatever he saw.
That was in the middle of the Atacama Desert.
Yeah. I'm like, holy shit. Like this guy had just seen something that he, you know, like they're calling to me. I'm like, oh shit, man. Like I would
it makes me emotional every time. Every time I tell the story, which isn't very often, it's hard to hold the tears back.
Yeah, I mean, the look on your face and just seemed very profound and touched. You know what I mean? Like, it's I probably wouldn't do it justice describing it. You would have to watch it for yourselves. And but it's very profound. I mean, what happened? I mean, I'd have to know. I mean, obviously the video doesn't really do its justice and it doesn't show what you seen, but I mean, what happened? I mean, if you don't mind me asking.
Well, do you want me to start there or do you want me to get there?
Dealer's choice.
It's your show, man.
It is my show. Let's get there. I feel like it's everything that's a lead up to this moment, and this moment is very profound. So let's start, and I'm yours, Sled God.
So the Atacama trip to the Atacama Desert in Chile was September of 2019.
Okay.
It was a pre-programmed sighting with a gentleman by the name of Ricardo Gonzalez, who's written multiple books, and he's a hardcore ET experiencer. His father was, his grandfather was. I mean, it goes through his family. He's South American. And the pre-programmed sighting is something where these guys do automatic writing. It's kind of complicated, but if more than two or three people get the same message, coordinates, places, times, things like that, they take that as a sign to go to these places. Well, apparently, and I haven't been to all of them, so I can't confirm this, but apparently they're 7 for 7 now for pre-programmed sightings. So a year in advance, they had come up with this idea that there was going to be something that was going to happen on a specific day at a specific time, at a specific place in the Atacama Desert. So there were 330 people there. It was the, I think it was the last night that we were there, and it was the night that it was supposed to happen. And just before we had what I would call the pre-programmed set, I think what happened to me was more of the pre-programmed setting than what the light in the sky that we saw was. But before that happened, sorry, right after, we had a light in the sky that stayed there. Even with the earth rotating and in the cameras and the videos, you could see the stars moving from the earth's rotation, but this thing was geosynchronous. It was still. And if it was a geosynchronous satellite, it would stick with the stars as you're rotating. So this thing over the course of 25 minutes stayed in one place and blinked erratically for almost half an hour. So that was the pre-programmed sighting. I decided, and I play with ham radios. That's one of my favorite tools for sky watching. And I decided that I was going to go for a walk in the trees. So yeah. I don't abandon cameras when I'm with Rob. When I'm traveling with Rob Freeman, that's my job, is to watch those cameras. I'm kind of security for the cameras, and I don't abandon them. But we were in a safe place and with very, very spiritual, safe people, we felt. So I said to Rob, I'm going for a walk. So I went for a walk, and I didn't bring a flashlight on purpose. You know, there was, it was perfectly clear night. There was no clouds in the sky. And I decided to go for a walk in the trees. Well, these trees have big, big thorns on them. So you got to walk really carefully. And I got far enough away from the group. We had a huge generator there that was running all the speakers and the microphones and things like that. And that generator was noisy, even though they had a plywood barrier around it. So I walked until I couldn't hear that generator anymore, which was probably, I would say, 750 to 1,000 meters from where the camera equipment was and where our site was. Mm-hmm. As I was walking through, there, all of a sudden, my radio, which, as I said in the video, happens quite often when things are happening, my radio started going crazy. And the squelch was coming on and it just wouldn't turn off. I actually had to turn my radio down. And people don't have to believe this. This is my story, and I'm so incredibly blessed. I feel blessed that it happened to me. But it wasn't a voice in my head. It was a voice outside. And it was clear as a bell. It was a deep voice. And it very, very calculated said, be prepared. And it freaked me the fuck out. It freaked me out. I looked around. It sounded like somebody was standing right beside me. Be prepared. That's all it said.
Shit.
So obviously the hair standing on the back of my neck. I'm terrified. I realize there's nobody standing around me. I'm actually saying, is anybody there? Anybody there? Anybody there? 4 or 5 seconds later, be prepared. I'm panicking. I start breathing. I'm hyperventilating or getting close to, and it happens again. And I probably heard it 8 times, 7, 8 times, every 4 or 5 seconds, and it didn't stop. So I turned around and started going straight back to the group. And I was moving quicker back to the group than I was moving away from
the group. Not walking so carefully this time.
Yeah, and yeah. I was walking through thorns and the whole 9 yards, and I continually looking behind me. I mean, I was scared, which I shouldn't have been, because that's what we were there for, was some kind of contact. And I knew it wasn't a person, and I've always vowed that if anything ever happens to me, I will not be afraid. I was afraid. So I got back to the tripod, to the camera equipment. And Rob asked, I don't even remember what he said. Hey, how was your walk or whatever? And I didn't say anything. And I had to move. I had to go and think. I had to get away from everybody, because now I was back in the noise. The generator was there. So I started walking a different direction. And I started walking directly away from the cameras. And I walked down towards this road, which came to an open field. I got away from everybody. I got into an open field, and the field was completely open, but on the far side of the field, there were large bushy trees that were spaced about 30 or 40 feet apart from each other. And there was about seven or eight of them across the field. And my memory is five trees. Like when you walk through, when you walk down an aisle in the supermarket and the lights turn on in the coolers as you're mm-hmm. walking, it was just like that. It was like the five trees went all the way across the field, one after another in sequence. The second that light hit the end of the field, there was wild dogs. One of the things we had to watch out for in the Atacama was there was a pack of wild dogs that erupted into chaos. The second that last tree lit up, those dogs started going crazy. I walked across the field. It was really easy to see where I was walking. It was very open. There was no bushes or anything. And I walked across that field to the end where that last tree was. And I stood there for probably, I stood there and I was very emotional. I was by myself, it was pitch black. Again, I couldn't hear the generator. And I just stood there and I cried. Anyways, I probably stood there for 10 or 15 minutes. It probably took me 7 or 8 minutes to walk across the field, maybe 5 minutes even at a brisk walk across the field. I stood there for 10, maybe 15 minutes, and then I walked back. As soon as I got back, there was Paula Harris and Marcus McNabb, two of the people that we were there with, were looking for me and had been calling for me. So I think in the video, I haven't watched the video pretty much since it was done, but in the video, Marcus catches me right when I come out of the field and he's got a night vision camera in my face. And I just really didn't know how to explain what had just happened. But the next day, later that night, I told Rob what happened. I told Marcus and I told Paula what happened. And she said, "You need to tell Ricardo. We need to tell everybody what happened." And I said, "Absolutely not. Keep this quiet, okay? This was an experience for me." She said, "If you want it quiet, we'll keep it quiet." I said, "Good, keep it quiet. I don't need to tell everybody what happened. I'm just really, really, really happy that it did happen. This is what I came across America for."
Wow.
So when we wrapped up that night, it was probably 3 o'clock, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Rob and I walked across the field to where this had happened. And we walked down to the end of the field and we stood there and while I stood at the end of that field for 10 or 15 minutes, I heard nothing. I saw nothing. Nothing happened. Next morning, Paula comes over to me, like Paula always is. And she says, "Ricardo's ready for you. It's time to tell your story." And I said, "Paula, I told you, I do not want to tell this story. Number one, people aren't going to believe it. And number two, I don't care if they do or if they don't. I would just prefer to keep this for me." I was really adamant about it.
Yeah.
But Paula was more adamant that this is why we all came here and that this was an important message, even though it meant nothing. What's "be prepared" mean? What does it mean? I still don't know.
Yeah.
She insisted that I tell the group. So they got me a translator because most of the people were there from South America and not a lot of English speaking people. They got me a translator. You could probably see in the video. It wasn't as apparent as I thought it would be, that I had been crying for quite some time up to that. I was really emotional and it was really upsetting me that I needed to tell this story. But when it's all said and done, I'm glad that I did. And it's made some things happen for me in life where I've gotten more involved in this subject. But I stood there, my translator translated for me. I told the story. I think the video on YouTube is called, was it Danburg Atacama or something?
Yeah, it's something along those lines.
Yeah, Danburg Atacama Desert.
You go, if you go on YouTube, you just Danburg CE5 and just, you know.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I was like, man, this guy's everywhere. This is awesome. I mean, you know, here I am talking to you. So it's definitely cool. I don't have a hard time believing you whatsoever.
Let me just say, the reason why you and I are connected now is because Daniel, who found you, also found, or no, I guess Costa put you in touch
with
Daniel, so or whatever
Costa,
it was.
Costa, you know, introduced us or, you know, or told me to reach out to him and stuff like that and, you know, name drop his name and, you know, how that goes. But, so we connected and what a profound, I mean, I can't speak highly enough for about all of them, but Daniel, especially, like, the intelligence that he has is, you know, and his fingernails more than I have.
7 or 8 regression hypnosis sessions with him to try and figure out what the fuck happened, what went on. And like I told you, I've got 25 or 30 minutes of a USB stick left from our last interview that he's encouraging me to watch that I still haven't watched yet. I'll let you know when I do, when I'm ready to watch it. But the one thing that to take away from that Atacama experience was that in total from when I, because apparently I walked past when I first came back after hearing Be Prepared and I walked away from the camera equipment again, apparently I walked past Paula and Marcus and they were calling my name because I wear a very distinctive jersey that's very reflective and almost dark kind of. And they said I walked right past them. They called my name. I was right beside them. They said I walked past them in some kind of a trance. Well, I don't remember them calling out for me. But what I take away from this is it took me probably, I would say, a total of 12 or 13 minutes to go from when I left the tripod to the end of the field, nonstop walking.
Yeah.
I probably stood there for 10 minutes, same thing, 10, 12 minutes back. And I apparently was missing for an hour and a half. And I'm telling you, I know the difference between 25 minutes and 90 minutes.
For sure.
So
you have no recollection of that time.
I remember it all. There was nothing that I forgot.
Yeah.
But it was a short, compressed amount of time.
It felt short to you, but in actuality, you're gone this long. Is that what?
So,
wow, that's crazy. You know, that's always, you always hear those things of just missing time and this and that, like, you know, obviously you're conscious and this and that. It feels so short to some people, but you're actually gone for days or hours or, you know, however that goes. Now, do you have any, like, inclination of maybe who was talking to you? Like, do you now?
I do. I actually do.
People can't see my face, but it's my face of joy right now.
I can see your face. Oh, I guess, yeah, your listeners can't see
your
face.
No, I'm not going to make this a video because, you know,
so
I like stupid, but it's okay.
There is a story that Ricardo Gonzalez tells about two Nordic ETs that he's been in contact with for many, many years, Avika and Enterel. And if you look up Enterel on Google, there is a rendition of him, a drawing of him. And when we were in Mount Shasta last year, I knew about Anterel, but I didn't know about Avika. And when we were in Mount Shasta, on the all the camera equipment that we had, we were in the middle of a group meditation, and Rob heard something. And in that meditation, he made a screenshot on his phone so he had the time. When we're done, we always, the next morning, we review footage. Well, we've got like 10 cameras and 6 hours of footage on each kit. Like, that's a lot of footage to go through.
Yeah.
One of the things that I spend a lot of time doing when we're on these trips. And he remembered the next morning, he went, oh, yeah. Remember, I told you last night, I heard something during the meditation. And it was at, and he pulled out his phone and he went, it was at, 1027 exactly. So I went to the camera, went to the one that has the best audio. And I went to that minute and cranked the volume up and I heard something, but I couldn't really tell what it was. So they brought me out a set of really, really good earmuffs.
Yeah.
Whatever they call them. So I plugged it in and I cranked the volume up. And in that moment, all you hear in this deep voice, from what I remember exactly what Be Prepared said to me, this deep voice says, Avika. And I went, Rob, sounds like Avika. And he went, what? And I said, hang on one second. I went back a few frames, listened to it again. Went back a few frames, listened to it again. I said, yeah, it says Avika. He goes, do you have any idea who Avika is? And I said, no, I don't. And he goes, do you know about Anterel? I said, yeah, I know all about Anterel. He goes, Anterel and Avika. So it was super odd because none of the other cameras picked it up. And it wasn't anybody from the group. I mean, we had visual, we had multiple cameras on the group. I mean, it was a silent meditation. Everybody head down. Nobody was talking. Nobody was coughing, nothing. So I heard this Avika, and the voice. So clearly they speculate that's Emperel saying the word Avika, you know, they're with us in the group or what have you. Well, that voice was the same. It was the same tone. It was the same deep sort of, not robotic, but sort of, it's sort of a deep robotic kind of voice. Same voice.
This is the same voice that you heard in the desert.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
So, man, that's
There's crazy. Actually a video on YouTube from Rob Freeman, UFO World Explorer. I think it's called Avika, Avika in Mount Shasta or something. And they actually play the word. And you can hardly hear it when you crank your speakers up. But once again, if you plug in earphones, you can hear it crystal clear. And it's deep robotic Avika. It's awesome. It's really cool.
Whoa. Whoa.
Yeah. So that's my inkling. You asked, do I have an inclination?
Yeah.
That's my inclination.
Man, I would imagine, because I mean, obviously, because you're in two different hemispheres, you know what I mean? And you're hearing the exact same. And it's one of those things too, is I listen to just this amazing story, and you know, they say they're in trance, but the realistic version of me says, I think you're just shell shocked and you're just like, holy fuck. Like you know what I mean? It's just like soldiers getting shell shocked and you're get over here, get over here. And they're just staring off, you know, in the distance and the, you know, just everything's toned out, you know? And I just think of that, but I haven't experienced any of this myself, but you know, I'm waiting for the day I do. And I know it's only a couple of amount of times, but with a toddler, that's, you're asking for a day.
You know, just asking for a few hours, man.
Yeah. And that's what the other thing is, just getting him settled down. And I'm going to go do it in my backyard. Like this is how I'm going to start. You know what I mean? And it's funny that you have a big, you're like, oh, I got a ham radio. Like I literally just bought a ham radio too. Cause you know, they say that, you know, radios help amplify the signal or this or that. Like I was like, what better else to amplify anything but a ham radio, because these go miles. You know, they go a lot further than a CB radio any day because of the broadcast length. So it's funny that you said it. I just bought a handheld ham radio, ready to broadcast some tones when I'm, you know, when I'm ready and have some time to do this. But
don't just broadcast tones. Speak to your star family.
No,
speak some loving words through it. You might be amazed at the shit that comes back.
Now, when you use the when you use the ham, I mean, is there any like specific frequencies or?
No, I always pick frequencies that are in, like, I'm always in the States or in Central or South America.
Yeah.
So I always leave it on British Columbia frequencies. And I have a bunch of BC frequencies programmed in my phone. And I just, as soon as I start getting some type of interference, I mean, they say ETs can mess with our electrical equipment really easily. As soon as I start getting something, it's not specific to one channel. So I switch the channel right away just to make sure that, hey, if I've got one channel that's giving me a lot of chatter and a lot of buzz, let's get off that channel, because it doesn't matter what channel I'm on. If they want to communicate through the radio, they'll communicate through the radio.
Yeah.
So I'm changing channels. I never get voices out of it or anything like that, but somebody had suggested not that long ago to start listening to some of the squelching for Morse code and things like that. Because when we're having sightings in the sky and when things are happening, the radio is usually going fucking crazy.
Wow.
Nuts. And when there's nothing happening, the radios are quiet.
Yeah.
So, no, it's not a surefire thing, but it just adds an aspect of fun and excitement to get
out of the stars. It helps too. It gives you that extra length that, you know, they can actually hear you. You know what I mean? Especially with all the manipulation that they receive. So I mean,
Johnny, listen to this. You can sit there and have 4 hours of silence on the radio.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say 95% of the time, you take one of the tones, the Mount Shasta tone or the crop circle tone, or let's say those two tones.
Yeah.
Fire off those two tones after 4 hours of radio silence. 30, 40 seconds later, you've no longer got radio silence. And it's like every time, every single time.
Wow.
They answer back.
That's my big thing too. It's like meditation. Like, I don't think I could shut my brain off long enough to meditate, but I'm definitely try. But I guess it's more of a calming sense. And that's what I'm thinking meditation. I'm thinking of, monks, meditating in silence, like,
just concentrate on black, just blackness, no thoughts. Yeah. You don't push thoughts out. You don't pull thoughts in. You just got to sit there and concentrate on black. And if you practice, you can quiet your mind. I'm diagnosed ADD, I've learned to be able to quiet my brain.
Hey, that's all right. Cause I mean, it gives me hope. Cause I think I'm undiagnosed ADD sometimes, but, that's incredible. I mean,
and just imagine if it really happened. Yeah. How incredible that is.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not even, we have a saying here, just because it didn't happen to you doesn't mean it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's one of those things too, where you said, like, I don't care if anyone believes you, like, Dan, I wholeheartedly believe you, because why would anyone, come on here and not, because you're not seeking fame, fortune, you know what I mean? You're just a guy who has a job. You already has a job. You're already making money. You've got a good life. You know what I mean? Like, what are you seeking? So, I mean, that's a truly amazing story. And I mean, I would probably be the same way. It's, if something spoke to me that many times, and especially, what I hear too, going down this journey, is when it actually speaks to you, it's this sense of emotion that gets relayed into
Absolutely.
That too.
Yes.
And that's, I can't fathom that right now. And I'm just, I put myself in your shoes, and it's absolutely incredible. And now you can almost per se put a face to the voice, how cool would it be to enter your star friends there would actually introduce themselves to you, have you done it since? Or, I mean, obviously you probably have, but recently, have you been out and,
I go out all the time.
That's cool. Anything cool happen, or just a bunch of lights? I saw the waving video where it waved goodnight to you. That's kind of cool. I was like, it's pretty courteous, I was like, man, it always brings me the story that Jason always tells. It's a group of people in England had encounter with a UFO. And extraterrestrials, and they both kind of caught each other by a surprise. So the guys from London or England was just like, "Well, we don't know what do you do? But what do you do but wave?" You know what I mean? And then the extraterrestrials ended up waving back, and everyone went on their way. So I mean, it's just simple as a wave. A wave means a thousand words, and how cool is that? That they're acknowledging.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Rob said, we got 5 minutes left, 5 minutes left. And then in the video, I said, we're down to two, because Rob just picked a specific sign. I said, we got 2 minutes, man. All right, we're packing up in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And I took out my really powerful strobing flashlight, and I pointed it straight up at the sky, turned it on, and started waving, saying, guys, I'm waving good night. Well, we didn't see it that night. We didn't catch it till we went through the film footage the next day. And then while I was doing the waving with my strobe light, I only did it for about 6 or 7 seconds.
Yeah.
And while I was waving, just a massive, massive light right where I was strobing seemed to wave back. And like I said, it was really exciting when we saw that in the film footage the next day, because we didn't see
that
it in
is
our
super-
eyes.
That is super cool. So what's with the stopping at midnight? I mean, you can't go later than that, or?
Oh, we do go later than that. We go all night long. That's the Greer protocol. You go from 9 to midnight.
I mean, that's like, in the car industry, that's, it's a manufacturer suggestion. Obviously, we don't always follow that. You know what I mean?
Totally.
We like to put the aftermarket parts on it once in a while, but.
When we were at Lago Cote in Costa Rica, Rob decided that we were going to do all-nighters. And for like 7 days straight, we went from 9 o'clock at night till sunup.
Wow. That's incredible. I mean, my only experience with experience in any of this was I was sitting on a beach here locally, and I was just sitting out there, just hanging out. It's just me. And we live in a predominantly military town here, so I'm aware of, we also have an international airport. So, you know, I know what things look like in the sky, you know what I mean? And I actually have a telescope. So I do, you know, I look at the planets and stars and you know, when I have time to. So I'm sitting at the beach and all I see is just this red light just screaming across the sky. I'm like, that's going pretty fast. I wonder if it's something new that they got going on. You know what I mean? You don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I can remember telling you the first time I saw the B2 Spirit for the first time playing in my yard. Like, I thought we're being invaded. And then the air show came and they're like, hey, look at our new plane. I'm like, well, that's exactly what I saw. That's cool. So,
yeah.
So I saw this thing screaming across the sky and it just stopped. I was like, well, that's not us. So what the hell is this?
And you can still see it when it stopped. Sorry. Yeah, carry on.
Yeah. And it stopped and it stood there for about, it felt like eternity, because it's just, I'm amazed that something going that fast stopped on a dime. And before you know it, it just shoots straight up and you'd never to be seen again. It's the most, that's what kind of like drew me to all of this and kind of made me like, holy crap. Like, you know, like this.
If that doesn't hook you and make you want to go out and look up a little bit more, yeah, then I don't know what would.
I'm always looking.
Stop dead and then shoot away like a gun or a bullet out of a gun.
Yeah.
That's a rare, rare sighting.
Yeah. And it's one of those things too. It's just like, I've never seen it again, nor have I ever experienced it again. And then here, I was like, cool, acknowledge UFOs. Like, I'm all about it, you know? And I watched, I was like, wait a minute, you can summon these things? These, all right. And down the hole I get. And then that's when, you know, I did my own research. And so Jason is my wife's cousin. So we got to talking and I'm like, hey, you ever watch that documentary, Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, with Greer? And you know, like, yeah, we should. So we just went down that rabbit hole and here we are. So I'm so glad that we did, and we get to talk to folks like you and other amazing people too. So
I have a theory as to how the whole vectoring and summoning thing works. And I think it's a little less, it's definitely spiritual, because if you're not somebody who's, for lack of a better term, worthy, I don't think they're going to show themselves. But we as human beings have CBI, computer brain interfacing. You can literally now put a helmet on somebody's head, and the amount of things that we can do, that they say they can project dreams onto a computer screen, what's going through your, that's computer brain interfacing. We can actually, yeah. I believe that ETs have the same thing, much more powerful, same sort of thing, much more powerful. And I see it almost as being something like, you know, a table that they're looking at, like Star Wars, where they've got these holographic people on the ground that are actually seeking contact.
Yeah.
And I don't think that all ETs are participants in CE5. I almost think that there's like ambassadors, or, you know, the enterelles of the universe that are sort of tasked with interacting with humans. I don't think that you're tapping into any extraterrestrials out there. I think you're actually tapping into some sort of federation, for lack of a better, galactic federation, that is dedicated to slowly introducing themselves back into human reality.
All right, so we had on, we like to call the captain, all right, yesterday, and this episode, that episode's going to be released before this one. So the captain is 40 plus years of naval intelligence, nothing, you know, dealing with this or anything like that, but he has a very military mindset, and he gave us another point of view with this stuff, because he's a MUFON member and very much like firm believer that we're all going to go CE5 when we go and hang out with the captain one day. And he has the same thing, where these light orbs are just reconnaissance. They're kind of like drones. Right. And they're summoned by a hard body ship, which is kind of like, you know, he does it in the military. Like, you know, those are the fighter jets, and the fighter jets report to the carrier, and the carrier, you know, so, you know, it's kind of cool that you just said that. And I, and the other theory that kind of like gets me, in my own personal theory, and it's probably going to step on a lot of toes in the CE5 community, but I don't think Dr. Greer founded CE5 by himself. Like, he had to run across it for one of his travels, and like, oh wow, like this works, and it's probably, you know, some tribe or whatever he went to.
The Rama group are South Americans that have been doing this a lot longer than Greer's been doing this.
There you go. So he might have just Americanized it and got some, you know. But anyway, but when you do the CE5, like, I have a theory, like, you're contacting them on like this old school, like, oh man, like, I didn't know this phone still worked. You know what I mean? Like, let me pick it up. And don't you know that you can contact us by using XYZ instead of using this old dusty phone? Like, we just keep it on in case y'all call. You know what I mean? Like,
totally. Yeah, I love it.
So, you know, that's kind of cool that you just said that, because that's been my theory. Like, how else can you summon, you know, our friends and everything else? So I just, maybe we're, and another thing too that we talked about with the captain is, you know, there's different phases of our disclosure. And that, you know, that the government is going to disclose, the American government, about the truth to get the funding and yada, yada, yada. But he predicts that there's going to be a crawl, walk, run phase to disclosure, because obviously if you come out and say, hey, guys, like, all of this stuff is completely real, yada, 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 like, it's going to dismantle the world, like, religion, you know, people are going to go nuts. So even then, I think, you know, the oldest people I've talked to at the CE5 is only going back 20 years. They're still babies in all of this. You know what I mean? Like, 20 years isn't that long in the grand scheme of things. I mean, it's long if you look at it in our linear time, but in the grand scheme of things of how old all of this is, and you can go back to ancient aliens and all this other stuff. But, you know, I feel like we're still in our infancy when it comes to this. And imagine another 20 years from now, like, where we're going to be at and how we can communicate. And I think that's very fascinating food for thought.
Well, the crawl, walk, run, I believe is 100% accurate. This 180-day report is going to be very anticlimactic for people that are kind of in the know. There's going to be a lot of people that have no interest in UFOs. They're going to watch because it's on 60 Minutes.
Yeah.
Buzzword, disclosure, whatever. But I believe that all they're going to do is say that what they've already said. They're just going to reaffirm to more people now, because their audience is going to be larger, and they're going to say the phenomenon is real. We don't know what it is. We do have some materials that we don't believe are from here, and that's going to be the extent of it. That's the crawl. It's that we are not going to get we're going to get told that the phenomenon's real, we know nothing about it. That's essentially what the 180-day report's going to tell us, next to nothing that we don't already know.
I have a feeling that it's going to be a little bit more, because, you know, we've been, I guess, in the U.S. at least, that I guess we've been dealing this since Roswell, maybe a little bit before. So I have a feeling that it's going to be, we don't know exactly who they are, but we have their stuff. Look what we made. Hence the creation of Space Force.
I definitely agree that the creation of Space Force is definitely foreshadowing something coming.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to put money on it that they're not going to talk anything about beings from anywhere else.
Yeah.
They're going to show all the usual suspects for videos, the Navy triangle video, which I believe is a plane with a night vision camera that has a triangular iris.
Yeah.
But they're going to show the Tic Tac Go fast Nimitz. They're going to show all that again.
Yeah. Nothing new.
I don't think we're going to get anything that's going to make a guy like, you know, people that have been in this for a while, it's not going to make anybody's head spin.
No.
Maybe my mom and dad or somebody like that who really doesn't watch anything, but.
I don't think it's going to be anything oppressive to, you know, the community that, you know, we speak to and everything else. So, I mean, it's, oh, big deal. Like, I see cooler shit like that on a Saturday night. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, I'm seeing something spoke to me. Ooh, you're going to show me the Go Fast video again. Okay, cool. You know, like, that. I mean, granted, I digress. I mean, it is cool because you get to see this on CNN, which 2 years ago, or not 2 years ago, 5, 6, 7 years ago, would never been like, oh, aliens, look how, but now they're like, oh, okay, here's something that people can explain, and it's through the government, like, let's pay attention. So, you know, I don't want to devalue that, because I thought that was a pretty big deal in the beginning, but, you know, to see the bodies on the table, figuratively, you're not going to see that, and you're not going to see, you know. But I think I like Costa's method of, you know, the people's movement there, and don't wait on their answers. You know, you can find your own. And
absolutely.
I'm more and more as this 180 days going on, I'm like, this guy has a point. Like, I'm going to push the disclosure thing out the window from Dr. Greer and listen to Costas, because I mean, it makes more sense. I mean, you're gonna
this is
be
what you're doing right now. There's so many podcasts, there's so many people that are bringing this topic to the forefront. We don't need the news to give us any more bullshit. We'll do it ourselves.
You're exactly right. Okay. So,
thank you for helping.
And you know, we've been doing this probably since like March, so I mean, I like to think that, you know, we're one of the first, but we're probably not. But it's one of those things where we're going to see as far as this can go, and to see if we can reach as many ears as possible, because it's not about listens or this or that. It's getting a message across, and the message of, you know, we need to get over ourselves and kind of, you know.
Well, there's speculation in the community from a number of people that seem to think that the government knows of something specific, and that they know of something that's coming in the future, and they're slowly introducing us to this because they happen to have a date or a time or something when there's going to be imminent contact. There is speculation in the community about that, so they have to get us prepared before this.
For sure. For sure. They most certainly do. That's why
they're really doing it slowly, drip by drip.
That's why I'm seeing aliens on Sesame Street. So I definitely, you know, I definitely agree. Because now, you know, it's not a big deal for kids now. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's very desensitized, and they're trying to get it up the age ladder. So, but Dan, hey, I know you're a busy man, and I've caught you throughout your day, and I appreciate, you know, your time and sharing that wonderful story. So I can't thank you enough. I'm eternally in your, you know, thank you. You know,
thank you. Talking to you. As soon as you shut the recording off, I'll share one more thing with you. But yeah, thanks for having me on, and I'm proud of you. Thank you.
To
get to know you.
Thank you so much.
Don't stop.
Definitely. And I know you're probably not going to promote anything this time. Really, do you want to promote anything? But I'm gonna leave you be, Dan, because you're a self promoting man. Let me tell you. So, but hey, thank you a lot, and. Everyone, you know, y'all take care. Thank y'all for listening to Connect the Dots.